On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt! Left field! Way back! Blue Jays win it!
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it!
It's
on!
It's on!
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Talk and Sports. Rob over there.
Hey.
Matt over here. This is, let's pull back the curtain for everybody. Last day in studio for a couple of weeks. We got all kinds of good stuff lined up for you, but we will not be here. I'm going to disappear for a little while up to the lake. I don't plan to take any of this stuff with me like I normally do. It gets, well, tiring is overstating it, but you know, every week trying to come up with however many things we're going to talk to you guys about, I'm just going to not even think about it for a couple of weeks, man. It's going to be good.
Matt on vacation.
Like I said, we still got new shows lined up for you. We got an episode of Audio Whiplash coming up shortly where we will be rejoined by Rob's brother. That was well received last time. We got an episode of TCS next week. It's going to feature Mark Warner of the Vegas Hockey Podcast returning. We finally managed to do a show with Steve McLean of the OHL Fanboys. And you and I have banked a couple of other shows. So there'll be no shortage of content for you guys, but this place will be on fucking cruise control. The only reason I bring it up is because I fully expect that with it still being a couple days before the MLB trade deadline, we won't be around to react to anything else the Jays might do. Certainly possible that Erik Karlsson gets dealt over the next 2 weeks. Anything that big that goes down that it seems like we're ignoring, there's a good reason for that.
There's a reason for it.
You expect to see anything else out of the Blue Jays before maybe we get into anything else? They've dealt Hap.
Yeah.
Dealt Sungwon Oh out to Colorado. Not much of a return there, but the Hap deal was...
Well, you see Drury played last night.
Yeah. To me, the only thing interesting about that deal is that I think it gives us a peek inside what Jay's management is thinking. They didn't want to go. You could have certainly found a younger guy with more potential upside, but more risk. But how long do you wait for him to develop? It seems like they don't want to waste Vladdy's early years where he's cheap on a bunch of rebuilding guys around him. They want MLB-ready guys around him, and they're going to try and continue to change this on the fly rather than the total.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You look at a couple of the pieces. I think they're hamstrung, obviously, by the Tulowitzki and the Martin contracts.
Yep.
But if you start flipping some guys out, if Granderson's not gone yet, maybe he will. He's another piece that gets flipped out.
Yep.
I'm not expecting anything huge in return for that. That's a utility outfielder.
Right.
But, you know, I would expect maybe him to be gone. But if you look at the Lourdes Gurriel, Teoscar Hernandez,
yep,
Drury / Guerrero, whatever that's looking like, it may not be if they can get rid of those. And I'm not saying they can get rid of them because nobody's taking them. But mob hit,
Yeah, sure.
Something along these lines, right?
Robidoux Island somehow shifts its way across the street to the Rogers Center.
Is there a better candidate for that than Tulowitzki?
Right.
Like, honestly, the guy hasn't played a game this year.
No. Actually, just last week was a one-year anniversary since his last MLB game.
Okay, and that seems legit.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about the main piece they got back for Hap, which was Brendan Drury, is I think he's okay, right? There's a lot of teams that were interested in him. He's been moved around a little bit. Yankees badly did not want to give him up. In fact, some Yankees media say that they overpaid for a rental on Hap.
It's funny. But, it depends on which side of that you're on, right?
Yeah, because Jays fans don't think they got enough, right?
Right.
So, but the thing is, I think in terms of the talent, I think in terms of what he does, it's an okay return. But you brought it in at a position that you're already kind of, he plays third, second, and left, where you kind of go, okay, so you don't really have
Steve Pierce.
Right. And there's been some comparisons like that. But you already have a bunch of those guys, right? Still, even after dealing Pierce with Solarte and Diaz and Travis and like that are just kind of.
Well,
and you
have at third base, which is where he played last night.
Yeah,
you already have Donaldson there if he ever comes back.
Yes,
and clearly a Vlad Guerrero in the near future. Now you
and
know
Russell
what?
Martin.
Yeah, okay. I was I'd rather see him there than out in left field.
Sure,
playing stuff off the carom at Fenway. You're like, what?
What is happening? This
shit has hit the fan.
Yeah.
Interesting that today is MLB Hall of Fame inductions.
Speaking of Vlad Guerrero.
Well, this is it. Yeah. And really, they're talking about, Junior going to see his dad inducted and then making the move down to Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
So he's got the promotion.
Up from AA to AAA.
Yeah, from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And they were saying, they flashed up his stats as of today. Have you seen his season stats?
Not since he came back from the injury there.
Well, okay, I don't think they've changed that much.
Okay, then it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they had him at 61 games, hitting a crisp 402. 402, 61 games. Like, that's not nothing.
No.
Right?
It's not.
I was surprised by only 15 homers.
Right.
But 60 RBIs in 60 games. Like, oof.
He's the real deal.
But we're all familiar with that. To me, the more interesting point is, and I can't remember who Sean McKenzie on Sports Central was talking to, but he was saying, don't expect Vlad Guerrero till maybe 21 games into the 2019 season.
Right.
Which I'd never heard that number, but in terms of controllable years.
There's something about if you break camp or leave spring training with the team, as opposed to coming in mid-April, late April, it burns a year of control on your, which is so strange. I'm sure it's tied to, if you were that good and you broke early, you deserve free agency early or whatever. So you leave them in the minors for 3 fucking weeks and then you can bring them up.
Yeah.
But I've read the same thing, that you won't see him in September as a September call-up, and you won't likely see him at the beginning of next season either. It'll be, the last week of April probably before he...
Well, hang out in Dunedin a bit.
Yeah, sure.
Spend the better part of April in Dunedin, and then you can make your way.
Yeah, man.
Anybody who's clamoring... Now, I'm not sure what happens in terms of a September call-up this year. Does that factor into that?
Yeah, that'll all count. So he'll stay down.
Okay,
you won't
see
him in September. You won't see Bo Bichette, right? You might see Danny Jansen, who's already at Buffalo, with pretty good numbers as a catcher, especially, depending on what they plan to do with Russell Martin next year. He's going to be around because of the money he's making, but I think they'd like to get a look at him. I think they want to get a look at some of the guys who might play around Vlad to see what do we got here, right? And like I said, as I circle back to the Brendan Drury deal, bring in a guy that you know is ready to play for you and be MLB caliber, right? Similar to what they did with Randall Grichuk, who had a terrible April, but since he's come back from injury, he's been pretty good. He'll probably be your new center fielder here going forward, might hit you 25 home runs. And you know that's, he's not going to be your star, but around your stars, you need MLB caliber players, and he appears to be one, right? And I think they're going to want to see who else they might have. Anthony Alford, right? They've been giving a bit of a look to Dwight Smith Jr.
I like that guy.
Yeah. And just see what you got. And so it's going
to
be...
To me, the thing with Dwight Smith Jr. is he can work in at bat.
Yep.
Yeah. And that to me is an absolute skill that younger players don't always have.
That's true. You just want to, because you come up, you're so good, you're so much better than the pitching talent that you just swing at everything and crack it out. And
yeah,
you don't take many walks. And last thing on Brendan Drury is that was kind of the book on him was pretty good contact, okay power,
15 homer,
but doesn't take walks. And so when he got to the Yankees at the beginning of the season, they had him penciled in. And on opening day, he was their third baseman. They were high on him. And then he got hurt. And when he was hurt, he went to the Yankees and said, by the way, I'm having some vision issues. I've been having them for a few years where it's kind of blurry and I'm not seeing it the way I want. And so while he was out, they got that figured out as well, figured out what his vision issues were. It was some kind of, it's weird the way the body works. It was like a pinched nerve in his neck or something.
Sure it is.
And since then, he hasn't been able to get back to the majors, but in AAA, his walks have gone through the roof. Like, all of a sudden, oh, hey, look, hey, I don't have to swing at that, right? Like, so
it's
again,
not even close, man. Right?
So you wonder, again, right, is that another reason to, he was already pretty good. Now it looks like you've got this, you know, another reason to maybe take a risk there. I know this is different than what I said to you on the day of. I emailed you and said I was underwhelmed, but as you do a little more reading, you're like, yeah, all right, maybe, right?
Well, and everybody got that, yeah. Right? There was people, analytics guys who were talking with the trade going, not that great. But you wonder if Drury is still at an age where he's got lots of time out in front of him. That maybe Guerrero isn't a long-term solution there.
Right.
And that maybe Guerrero's future is at first.
And I think there's been a lot of talk like that, right? And even if it's not, Brendan Drury has 4 years of control left. He could play some left while you're trying Vlad at third. And then if you're not happy, Vlad goes to first. Drury comes back into...
Because I'm telling you right now, Vlad Jr. is gonna assess Prince Fielder up in no time. They're talking, like they're still saying now, right, that part of the things that he can really work on outside of is the little things. And they're saying, like nutrition.
Yes.
working out. And so clearly that's a guy to me who's, you already look at his body type.
Thick on the bottom half,
super
the lower
thick.
Half. Yeah. Especially though, he's got huge legs on him. And yeah, it's a. Just before we jumped on here, I caught a video that we'll share at Tall Can Audio on Twitter at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Nazem Kadri got married on Saturday. So a bunch of the Leafs are back in town. First thing you'll notice, the second Lou went out the door, there's some beards walking in. William Nylander's got the sweet flow already growing out, kind of like that long blonde Swedish mane. I don't know how committed to this these guys are, or if it's kind of a
summertime
or we're trying it because Lou's gone and I've never been able to, this kind of thing.
Well, they did ask Dubas at the end, and he was very non-committal
but
in terms of having a stance of any kind.
I would say so far, and like you say, it's the summer, maybe it'll look different in October and September at camp, but I would imagine he's gonna. It's kind of an archaic fucking idea, right? For those who don't know, Lou Lamoriello doesn't let anybody have facial hair, or you kind of have to have the army buzz cut look to you. And so all the Austin Matthews got a little bit of a beard going, like as William Nylander's got the sweet the flow. But there was some video that surfaced from a Lebanese musician who'd been hired to play at Kadri's wedding.
And Seven Spices was his name.
I don't think that's correct, but there are some, this appeared to be, at least from the video that was shown, at least partially, right, an Arab wedding. There was that type of music playing. There was, I don't know if it was in and out between contemporary music and whatever, but Nazem Kadri is Lebanese.
Middle Eastern music.
There is a dance. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I certainly wasn't until this morning. It's apparently called the Dabki. And it's a traditional, it's done in a bunch of places. This was the Lebanese version. There's a very similar Iraqi one. But apparently this is fairly common across the Arab world, this type of dance. And so there's some
video. The Iranians don't want to be labeled as part of the Arab world.
I didn't say Iranians. I said Iraq.
Oh, I thought you said Iranians.
I maybe did. I hope I didn't.
Okay.
I meant Iraqis anyway.
Okay.
So this guy, this musician, has got his Snapchat up. And I don't know who, what the intersection of Arab musician, Arab music fans and Toronto Maple Leaf fans is, but someone found the video that this musician had posted of all these members of the Kadri family doing this dance, and then kind of at the end of the line, oh, look, there is a wasted Morgan Riley and Mitch Marner just trying to get in on this. These no-rhythm white boys that are kind of
trying to figure it trying to figure it out on the fly.
It was awesome. And so this guy who, again, was just kind of a random Leafs fan slash music fan, all of a sudden starts getting all these Leaf fans following. He's blowing up as a star on Twitter. He's like, oh, well, if you like that, there's more. And all of a sudden he's not telling anybody else where they can find this Snapchat guy, but he's taking those videos, uploading them to his account. It's like, there's a wasted Austin Matthews just kind of hanging out. There's Connor Brown doing his thing. But like in every video of anyone doing shots or doing a dance, it's always Morgan Riley in the middle of it. You know, he has no recollection this morning as to what went down last night. But the Leafs were unwinding it. Nazem Kadri's, we've shared the video at Talkin Audio on Twitter, like I said.
Beards and booze abound.
The young Leafs are having a good time. So that's kind of fun. Check it out at Talkin Audio. What else? You wanted to touch on Trevor Linden out in Vancouver.
Well, yeah, okay. If that's the order you want to do it in.
Doesn't have to be. If you got a different order you'd like to.
Well, I kind of wanted to touch on Jerome first.
Let's do that.
And then piece Trevor on, because to me it's an interesting discussion departure point from Jerome over.
Okay. Well, Jerome Iginla this week, maybe he hasn't done it yet. Maybe it's Monday that he's actually doing it.
Yeah, Monday.
30th. But he has announced that he will announce his retirement back in Calgary.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He has not retired. What? I'm pretty sure that guy retired a season and a half
ago. We've talked about him a little bit before the Olympics, whether or not he could use that to, but even then he hadn't played in however many months. He had just had hip surgery. No one appeared too interested around the NHL trade deadline, which was kind of the last time you could assign him to help you take a run. It was pretty clear it was over, but a really interesting career. The closest he ever got to the cup would have been that 04 run. They went to game 7 with, in Calgary or in Tampa, but Flames versus Lightning. And that was probably, I don't know about you, but maybe the most prominent he ever, like he had, I think only one 50 goal season. And you say only one, but he played a lot of his career in that trap era and whatever. Never really approached that again. I think he got to 42 a couple years after that, but a pretty well-known shooter, but just had a lot of kind of 35, 30 goal seasons after that. I'm not sure what you think Iginla's legacy is going to be.
He had a 52 goal season.
Yeah.
A 41, a 50.
Oh, you did have two.
And a 43.
Yeah. Okay.
And then a mitt full of 30 plus goal seasons.
Yeah.
So, when I think of Jerome outside of Hockey Canada, underwhelmed, I think, is, and it's unfair, and I'm going to backtrack away from it immediately. But I'm saying that's my initial reaction,
right,
of him when he's not wearing the Maple Leaf.
Yeah,
he was on a great World Junior team in sort of 94, 95, whatever that was. That won gold medal.
Right,
he was super
Red Deer, or
doesn't matter.
I'm putting you on the spot.
He was super clutch. Great, you know, high draft pick, 11th overall in the first round of Dallas. Wasn't even supposed to be on that 02 Olympic team.
Yeah.
But they were practicing in Calgary, I think, and they needed some extra skaters. And
that's my favorite Iginla story. Ken Hitchcock tells it on that. There's an Olympic, 02 Olympic documentary. It's called Gold Rush or something like that. And they were just at that summer camp, in Calgary, and someone couldn't make it. Someone got sick. They just called at like 11 o'clock one night. And Iginla, who lives up in Red Deer, I believe, or what at the time, and he threw his shit in the car and drove down overnight, so he was there in the morning to jump on the ice with him. Wasn't invited to the camp, wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, he's supposed to throw my stuff in the back of the truck, and I'll be there in the morning.
He was a guy who could keep up, at least. Like, he was a good player by then, but he wasn't what he would become. And
For sure.
Just needed a guy. And he's like, all right, I'll see you in the morning.
And then he's on that line with, I believe it's Sakic and Iginla. I mean, Iserman.
Yep. That's my they shuffled a little bit, but that's my recollection as well, is that it's Sakic, Iserman, and Iginla.
Hey, that's a good line.
Yes, it is.
But so to double back to your point, in terms of the NHL, and he did win two Rockets,
yep,
a Pearson.
Well, that season that you're talking about, that 02 Olympics, he would, like you said, he wasn't invited to the camp in the summer of 01. That year, he would get an unbelievable start, have like 30 goals by Christmas, gets invited onto the team, and that's the year where he finishes with 52 goals, I believe. That yeah, was his biggest year and got him onto that Olympic team.
Won the Rocket, won the Art Ross, I believe.
Yeah.
And a heart. I'm not positive. If he didn't,
not sure about the heart.
If he didn't, it went to Jose Theodore, if you recall those.
Oh yeah, that there was some shenanigans about writers in Montreal not even putting a Ginla on their ballot, so that, because it's all cumulative points, right? If you vote Theodore second and Ginla's, or Theodore first and Ginla second, Ginla still gets a bunch of points. And so there was guys in Montreal who wouldn't even, they had him like sixth. You're like, you fucking, but it was Theodore who ended up winning it.
Yeah. So if you look at it, he had 12 seasons of more than 80 games.
Pretty durable.
A pretty rugged guy.
Yeah.
I looked at it, and I think he had 27 or 30 fighting majors in his career. But
he's always my go-to on when we talk about fighting. I hate staged fighting, but I get it if...
Oh, he's everybody's go-to.
Well, it's Le Cavalier. Le Cavalier and that Stanley Cup final, both captains, both guys who don't fight a ton, but... I've been facing you for 2 weeks now. Fuck, I'm sick of you. And everybody gets that, right? Like, and all of a sudden, these two guys, these two leaders, drop the gloves and go at it.
Yeah, and I don't remember. I couldn't tell you who won the fight, but surely it's got to be Jerome.
You'd think, but I don't remember either. It's funny enough. To me, I sort of remembered as more of a draw, right? A pick 'em.
Yeah, pulling the sleeves up, having to go at it. Couple of haymakers, and then... But yeah, that is the thing.
Yep.
Also a very storied junior career, right? He came out of that Kamloops program.
Yep.
Simon.
We're both doing that.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. which I think Shane Doan was on that team. They were in the middle of three Memorial Cups in 4 years, I think. Jerome missed the first one.
Right.
But was on the, 94 and 95 teams that won. What a bit of, just in a side note, what a bit of a coaching factory they had at that point in Kamloops. In the 80s, they had Ken Hitchcock.
Right.
Was the coach there. He was replaced and followed as Hitchcock went into the Detroit program, replaced by Tom Rennie, was the coach right after Hitchcock, followed by the guy who had the most success, I think, at least, in Don Hay. You remember Don Hay?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, so he went on to work for Calgary. He was also a world junior coach.
I was thinking of him more as a national team thing or a Hockey Canada thing. But
man, that's a couple of...
Yep.
You're firing out some pretty successful coaches and having a pile of success in Kamloops. But yeah, I think he had 1,300 points in almost 1,600 games.
First ballot Hall of Famer? I think for me, it's yes. There are only 20 guys who have ever scored 600 goals in the league. 17 of them are already in. Two are still active, and then there's him.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
To me...
So who else is retired this year? Like, who's going to be in that kind of first class with him?
Yeah, but he's got there's a four-year wait, right?
Yep, that's what I mean. So in four years, who else is retiring this year?
Yeah, nobody...
So he'll be in with probably some backlogged.
Well, he'll be in with Shane Doan.
He's ahead of Shane Doan.
For sure. Okay, but to me, if you look at it, I always talk about Alfredson not being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You look at Ginla's got probably 300 more games than him and maybe only 50 more points.
Right. Okay.
Points per game.
Yep.
And I've always said, I'm not sure Alfredson's even a Hall of Famer. Now, I do think Ginla is.
Yeah. Well, but you make a good point there in terms of my guy is always Mark Recchi, just racked up a bunch of points because he played forever. How much of that is going to be Jerome right now?
Well, and Jerome, for me, again, in the underwhelming department, is He left Calgary.
Yeah.
In pursuit of a cup.
Yep. Didn't get it.
Yeah. Went to Boston, went to Pittsburgh, went to LA, went to Colorado.
Yep.
You're like, man, it's just.
That always taints it a little bit, eh? When you bounce around at the end. Like when you do the Bork thing and you get it in that first place you go. But at the end, when no one really wants you and you're kind of jumping on teams late and being traded all the time at the end, you know, it's kind of, yeah.
And that's, yeah, for me, that's it. If he just left it as a, he went somewhere for a couple of seasons at the end of his career,
yeah.
You go, all right, yeah. I get it. You're helping the team out probably. You're not as useful as you once were. You're bringing in some valuable pieces.
Yeah.
That can help the team you're leaving rebuild a bit. And you take a shot in your last couple of years to be a veteran depth piece. But yeah, to keep cycling around and cycling around. And you're like,
you got a spot for me? Are you any good?
What about this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. For me, he'll be first ballot just because sometimes it's more about reputation than it is about the real I think he's got the numbers like you, but whether or not they're first ballot numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
and 600 goals.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
It's not nothing.
But I think with the amount of respect he seems to have within the game, he'll get in on the first.
Well, and listening to a couple of local reporters talk about him, they're saying, you know what? Never, never a bad time to speak to Jerome Iginla. Doesn't matter what happened. He's always got time.
Right.
He's always got a smile on his face. Never looked like he ever, ever had a bad day at the rink. That goes a long way, too, with the voters, right?
Yeah, for sure
it does. When you have Ottawa as sort of an Eastern Conference team that they went years when they had that realignment where you didn't play each division in the opposite conference.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
So you'd go years without him coming through.
Yeah, what was it? You'd go to one division. One division would come to you in the West. Like, there was three in the East. So let's say you'd go to L.A., maybe Calgary would come to you, but the middle you didn't see.
Yep.
Like you wouldn't see Chicago at
and
all.
And it would cycle through.
Yes, yeah.
So there would be years where they say, yeah, Ottawa hasn't won in Vancouver in 9 years. And you're like, yeah, that's three
two
trips.
Games or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so I think how well he's received by the press, plus his numbers. Like, let's not...
Right.
The difference between... the other difference, and I'm sure there's people listening now going... Listen, you homer. I've already said Alfredson is not a Hall of Famer for me.
Right.
So I'm not tearing Iginla down by Alfredson has only one major trophy, and that's the Calder, right? Iginla, while no Calder, certainly does have the two Rockets, the Pearson, and a runner up as a Hart.
Right.
So
they both have a trip to the conference final.
And a
cup final.
Final, yeah.
Both have Olympic gold.
Yeah. So
maybe more comparable than I thought at first blush, right?
Yep. So and the points per game would actually side with Alfredson.
Right.
Which is odd.
Yeah. Because you don't think that. You think Alfredson is certainly a capable top liner, but more of a two-way guy. And the rep on Iginla was sniper, right?
Yep. And that is the difference.
Yeah.
His 600 and change goals versus Alfredson's 440, 450.
Right.
So, Alfredson, much more of a two-way guy. Now, you know what? Iginla, 1,300 points, 640 or 650 goals,
yeah,
630 assists.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. So, what I'm saying is he's not one of those guys. He's not an Ovechkin with his with his Cy Young numbers, you know, 20 and 3.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Well, and the other thing that we haven't mentioned yet is, for whatever it's worth, Crosby scores that 2010 Olympic gold medal overtime goal. It's Iggy that passes it to him, and you can always hear when they show that clip in the background, Iggy!
Yeah.
Crosby's calling for it down in the corner. And
the pass is sweet.
It is sweet.
Because it's kind down, of it was, yeah. And it's kind of behind. He's sort of flicking it out.
Yeah. No, it's there's a video that I'll share in all the usual places that the video is titled on YouTube. You can search it for yourself, The Iggy Heard Round the World. And it's just every call from South Korean television, from British television, from whatever. And you can, in all of them, hear in the background Sid screaming to Iginla to get off the puck. And so it's kind of a cool thing to just hear that goal.
Get that guy the puck, man.
Yeah. Turned out all right.
Hey, now, just before we transition out.
Yeah.
Crosby named greatest Nova Scotia athlete ever or of the last 100 years or whatever it is. Who's in that list?
I was just gonna say, I hope you're not coming with another name that
no,
I don't have one, right?
Like, I don't. And you're like, that's who names that for a guy who's 31 too? You're like, I don't know. It's
Oliver Pye.
Yeah, it's
look
weird.
It up, folks. You'll love it.
It's weird. You know what I mean? Just you sort of go, yeah, I get it. He's great, and he's going to be, you know,
he's
one of
king
the best.
Of much bigger mountains than that one, I would think, right? Like, and we're being, no doubt, there's been Olympians in other sports and amateur sports and guys that don't get their, what is Matt Stairs? And he's New Brunswick, actually, not Nova Scotia.
Nathan McKinnon?
Sure.
Like, and those are just hockey guys. I'm sure there's some canoers and kayakers.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? So,
and but, not to you know,
yeah,
disparage what those people have done.
It's a weird thing, right?
It just seemed random in the middle of the summertime.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the rare years where he doesn't have a cup parade to plan, so maybe they were able to honor him and he had some free time.
Yeah. Well, his sister is a goaltender, I think, as well. So maybe she was also in the mix. I'm not sure.
She's second, always.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what they say. She played goal.
Okay.
To try and get away from that.
So he had somebody to shoot on. Probably how that actually started.
Yeah, it never hurts, right?
Now can we talk about Trevor Linden?
Yeah.
You had a sweet segue.
It had to do with Aginla being an 11th overall pick and Trevor Linden being a second overall pick in 88. So
right.
7 years between them both.
Yeah.
Both Western athletes, both Alberta guys.
Both beloved in their respective markets.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I always think, you think of Trevor Linden, he was drafted number two behind?
In 85?
88.
Wendell Clark.
That's 84, I believe.
Probably, I have no idea.
No, number two, it was much talked about and hyped. Mike Modano went number one that year. And they were saying, you want the big, rugged Western Hockey League guy? Well, and Modano was actually a Western Hockey League guy too. I think he played for Prince Albert, maybe.
I think that's right, actually.
But clearly two different types of players.
Yeah.
And in Linden's draft year, 110 points, right?
Yep.
60-plus goals. But really beyond that, not much else, right? Like in his first 2 years as a junior, very, And then his NHL career, Like, you know, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Did Trevor Linden retire with more points or penalty minutes?
Well, I assume I'm being set up with this. I would assume it's points.
Okay, no.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have asked that question.
Yeah, no, of course. I know. But
yeah, no.
And how many points or penalty minutes, whichever one you want to choose, do you think that guy had? I know, and I don't really care. I don't expect you to know the answer or anybody listening, unless you are Trevor Linden, to really know that answer, right? He had 895 penalty minutes.
Really?
860 points.
Okay. I was going to lowball him on both.
I was lower than that.
I was going to bring him in at 650 points, maybe. And, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
because remember,
underwhelmed by
he left Vancouver. He did some time on the island, which was kind of a disaster.
Washington.
I don't even remember him in Washington. And then he was off to Montreal for a bit when they were bringing in everybody's leftovers.
And then spent three more years in Vancouver.
Yeah, to finish out his career. When it had already, I think by then, probably had already become the Sedins team.
Oh, his career was already finished before he got back.
Yes, for sure. But when you bring a guy like that back, and things have kind of turned over. We're spending a lot of time on his playing career. It is actually his presidential career that has ended this past week.
And really, all I wanted in terms of the segue off of them is, which one of those two guys do you want in your team?
Oh, Aginla.
For sure.
And
I'm just saying, as two guys who played prominent roles and are much beloved in Canadian cities.
Linden was on the 98 Olympic team, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I think he made that team.
But if disaster. He did, yeah, exactly. Fuck. Him and Rob Zammer.
Honestly.
What are those guys doing?
The fourth line.
Get out.
Honestly.
So yes, it is the him stepping down as president of hockey ops.
You think he was encouraged to do so?
I think it has clearly to do with, I think it has echoes of what's happening here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Aquilini, who's now sole owner, I believe.
That's right.
Of the Canucks. Jim Benning, who's the GM there, clearly is doing the bidding of, you know, when you bring in Jay Beagle and whatever.
Well, they're still dealing with
whatever the French prince is there. The guy from, I think it was Vegas, he played last year.
Belmar? I think he's still in Vegas. Pierre-Edward Belmar was
okay.
From France.
Anyways, the other guy. Yeah,
Antoine Roussel or.
Yeah.
There's one or two. Anyway.
Yeah. The two fourth liners that they signed for $3 million for 4 years apiece. Yeah.
And they're still dealing with Louis Erickson, right? It's a mess.
I think Trevor is saying those sorts of moves are not conducive to rebuilding a team.
So you're kind of sympathetic that maybe the disaster that this has become isn't necessarily his disaster.
Right, because they are as crappy as they were when he took over 4 years ago as president.
Canucks fans are wickedly sensitive about this. And the thing that has always been interesting to me...
Yeah, suck it, Canucks fans.
I've said that in here a million times. is that it's...
That's my Orca Bay sound.
I'm getting that. It is entirely possible to love a guy as a player, think he was awesome, you know, had his jersey as a kid or whatever, and acknowledge that he also wasn't a very good management guy. Like, maybe look at Wayne Gretzky, right? Like, it's possible for both of those things to be true. When you say Trevor Linden sucked at this, doesn't mean he sucked as a player. And I got time for your debate or your argument that maybe he didn't suck as much as it appears and maybe the ownership is... But Canucks fans will not hear anything that Trevor Linden does has been a mistake or has been... And I got a guy who tweeted at me saying that he did an unbelievable job in restocking their prospect pool. Well, but when you are the guy in charge of the transition from being perennial contender and President's Trophy winner to regular bottom feeder, that's the free space, man. That's the only thing you should... Like, you should absolutely have better prospects then.
Yeah, well, and... He was mentioning that again. That those are Trevor Linden's words in his speech when he's stepping down. I'm very comfortable. We have the deepest prospect pool that we've had in as long as I can remember. Well, what else are you going to say?
Right.
To me, that's like Dave Poulin saying, "Hey, I built that Marlies team."
But even Jim Benning now is overstepping that and saying we have 6 to 8 grade A prospects. I don't remember. Any team, like as a over-the-top Leafs homer, at no point...
You're such a homer!
At no point did we have 6 to 8 grade A prospects. I don't remember a time where any team has
had
that.
They don't either.
Of course they don't. They have maybe 3. Quinton Hughes is going to be great. Elias Pettersson looks like he's going to be great.
Don't tell me Jonathan Dahling.
I'm not. Okay. maybe Thatcher Demko. It's hard to pin that on a goalie.
Is he on your douchebag American?
He is on my, this is my, what do I call it? The Ivy League name or something. Every Christmas around World Juniors, I dig it.
Frat boy.
Yeah, the NCAA name of the year or whatever. Yeah. But he's the guy who started. It's the Thatcher Demko Award.
Okay, well, there you go.
Join in on at Talkin Audio on Twitter around
Tage Thompson
was this year's winner, of course, man. That guy played Ivy League. You can always tell. They maybe have 3, right? To sit there now for Jim Benning to say we have 6 to 8, I know I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. Trevor Linden can't take credit for having better prospects when he got here because the team was stacked when he got here and now it's not. At the same time, take it easy because if you say you have 6 to 8 grade A prospects and in 3 years turns out you have 2, you've painted yourself into a wicked fucking corner.
Well, and we all know that grade A prospects are just that.
Yeah.
Grade A prospects. There's no guarantees of anything.
Right.
So, good on ya.
I saw a great, just as we wrap this up, video this week. Last weekend was a huge celebrity kind of pro-am golf tournament out near San Jose. And so there's a bunch of boats that have been sitting out in this kind of lake watching the celebs tee off and so some of the guys are like driving balls out towards their boats and stuff. One of the guys is Aaron Rodgers, and so he starts throwing passes out to the different boats, and he throws about a 40-yard bomb to a guy standing on the swim platform of his boat, and it's maybe a couple of feet left, and this guy lays out like a fucking he's in the end zone, does the huge belly flop with his arms out catching this thing.
All I'm gonna say, and then hit his shoulder and head on the side of the boat as he's fully laid out.
But this guy, you could tell this was the dream of a lifetime. I'm about to catch a pass from Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he's missed me by 3 yards. I'm going to have to get out for this.
And did he get it?
He got it, man. Oh, hands on it, belly flop into the lake.
Held
comes
on to
up,
it?
Hell, it comes up, holding on to it.
See, perfect. Good for that guy.
For sure.
And just
yeah.
I wanted to finish on Trevor Linden.
Okay.
Maybe he was just average as a player and just average as a president. So Canuck fans, take some solace in that. Maybe he was consistent in both jobs.
Or, you know, suck it, as we said earlier. That's it for our last day in the studio, man.
We'll see you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we'll be back with Super Bowl predictions or something.
World Junior show, baby.
Hey,
come on.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. That's Tall Can Sports, and we'll talk to you
later. See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.